Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
When I left the newspaper and decided that I wanted to go do my own thing, part of me doing that is I wanted to be able to tell whatever story I wanted to be able to tell. And I wanted to be able to tell it to you, one-to-one. Reader, writer, me to you. And so on Mother's Day morning, when I put the final touches on my column about Ava Frisson and her mom and sister and her dad and kind of just what is an amazing story that her family so graciously shared with me, I got to be honest with you, I smiled as I hit publish. And it went out to all the people who subscribe, and it went online on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and everywhere else, LinkedIn. And the feedback that I got, I guess it didn't surprise me, but people were moved. They were motivated. They were inspired. Myself, like, you know, look, we're all guilty of this at one time or another. We're all guilty of maybe feeling sorry for ourselves or saying, I don't feel well today, or I'm not up to it, or I'll do it tomorrow. Like, after talking with Ava and her parents, I was motivated, inspired. Maybe you were too. If you want to read it, it's at johncanzano.com. I wrote it for Mother's Day because I do think that there is a bond between mothers and daughters, and I could hear it between her mom and her as I was interviewing them and talking with them, but I said it in the last segment. Ava was born. She's got an older sister. She was about 6 months old, and her mom and dad said, gosh, she's not crawling quite in the way that, you know, her older sister did. There's something that isn't quite right about this, and they took her in to the doctor. The doctor said, you need to go to Dornbecker. We need to get some imaging. We need to do an MRI. They did an MRI of her brain. They found a mass in her brain. Now, they didn't know if it was a tumor. They didn't know if it was an inoperable tumor. They didn't know if it was scar tissue from a brain bleed that was older, and they didn't know. And that not knowing for 6 months, I can't imagine. I've got three daughters. I can't grasp it. And I talked to her parents in reporting the column that I wrote. And what I heard from her parents was strength, resolve. They are a great team. I can tell it just in talking with them in one interview. And because there's no way that you get through something like this as a family without pulling together. It turned out that it was not a tumor. It was a hemiplegia, which is essentially a form of cerebral palsy that causes paralysis on one side of the body. Ava had suffered some stroke-like damage to her brain, maybe before birth or during birth. Nobody's sure of that. But no tumor. And her mom said, I don't know if any parent has ever been as happy as I was to hear their kid has cerebral palsy. Because she was bracing for the worst, right? And what she got instead is now the guest that you're going to meet here in a minute. Ava's now 18. She is a varsity golfer at McMinnville High School. She played in the regional tournament yesterday in Oregon City. And I want to hear how she did in the tournament, but I just want you to meet her a little bit, hear her story, because I am fascinated by a kid who's got the ambition, who's got the courage to try something she's never tried before as a freshman in high school. She never played golf. She never even picked up a golf club. Her parents must have looked at each other and said, you know what? You know, this is just what Ava does. I wrote about it in the column, but, you know, even when she went to go drive for the first time at 16, there was some talk about modifying the car so that she could drive it. And Ava refused that as well. She's found a way. She drives now. She plays golf now. And she's about to do her first big radio interview. Ava Frisson joining us now. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing really well. I want to thank you because I've loved being able to tell your story. And what was that like for you to read that and get feedback and hear from people who had read about you?
Oh, it was really nice to read it. I thought you did a really good job with that. But I'll be honest, it's a little embarrassing when people come up to you, like, in public, and they're like, oh, I read about you in the paper. Like, yeah. That was such a good article. And I'm like, yeah, it was. And so I had a coach, at the regional tournament yesterday. We were just unloading our, like, clubs from the bus and stuff, and he's like, oh, I read about you. I'll see you out there. And I'd never met this guy before. And so it was like, it's kind of like cool, but also just a little bit embarrassing.
Well, you know what? You are inspiring, and I hope you read the comments to it because there were so many people who were just weighing in, kind of giving you a fist bump or a high five because I think, you know, the approach that you have and the approach that your family have is, I think, is really something we could all learn from. And, you know, you probably don't know any different, and, you know, as we're talking about you, but before I get into any of that, how did you play yesterday at this regional event at Stone Creek?
I think I did pretty good. I think I did about average for how I'm doing this season. Not to say anything bad about the people that were running the tournament, but typically we have an electronic score sheet that we input our individual scores for each hole after we finish and we attest and everything, so you're not adding them up and taking so long. But they didn't have that this time, so I don't know my final score.
Oh, wow. You still don't have your score?
I do not, no. Yeah. My coach was like, I'll get it to you as soon as I have it. But
yeah,
they haven't given us anything, so.
Give us an idea, because your mom told me and your dad told me you came home from school your freshman year and you announced, I've joined the golf team. And, you know, this is not something you had done before. Why? What made you want to join the golf team? And, like, had you played miniature golf? Had you done anything involving golf before playing?
I have not. I've played, like, mini golf twice in my life, I think. But when I was, like, six or something, my dad bought this little, like, kid-sized set of, like, golf clubs, and I think it only had, like, a driver, like, a 6 and a 9 iron and, like, a putter or something. So we didn't get much use out of it then, but it's just, I know, like, that's something that he really likes to do occasionally. And, like I said during our interview before, my friend Molly, she's a really big, like, inspiration to me and, like, one of my best friends. And she was joining the golf team. And she was just like, oh, you'll like it. Yeah, like, come join me and we'll, like, be on the golf team together. And so I thought it was, like, a really unique opportunity and something I knew kind of a little bit about, but not really. So I was just excited to get out there and try it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, it's mostly your right side that, you know, doesn't have sort of the control or strength that your left side has. How did you decide whether to play right-handed or left-handed?
You decided just because right clubs are a lot more common, but what we decided to do is have a cross grip, so my left hand is in front of my right hand, which is typically the opposite for right-handed clubs. You usually have your right hand leading. But because of the way, like, my arm is shaped a little bit and just, like, the strength that I have in it, it's a lot weaker than my left side. And the hand you want leading is the more powerful one to swing it back and swing it forward and get a lot of that power. So that's why we decided to go with a cross grip, because with my left hand forward, then I could get a lot more power potentially.
We've all tried things and found that maybe we weren't good at them to start with. Like, I remember my parents, Ava, put me in piano lessons. I was terrible. I had no musical ability. I couldn't do it. I think I lasted about a year. When you were a freshman, how challenging was it to play golf? And I gather you're way better now, 4 years later. But tell me why you stayed with it, even though it was challenging.
I stayed with it because I think even though it was challenging, I saw that there was a reward in it. It's like you get out there and it's like a super nice day and you're just like hanging out, like talking with your friends. And it's not so much about a competition between like between competitors. It's just about competition with yourself and challenging yourself. And maybe just by virtue of my disposition, I've always been someone who likes to be competitive with myself and keep going. And I think that's just really like how I was raised. Like you just keep going with stuff no matter what.
How much better are you now as a senior than the freshman?
Oh, I'm infinitely better. Like before it was just like you're like constantly grounding balls and like topping them and you're like learning how to like position the club and like your body and your work, learning what works for you. So you're not making really good contact with the ball, but now it's like, I know exactly what works for me. And so you're just like hitting the ball and you're getting it to go so much further, so much higher. And so it's definitely a reward to see that transition from freshman to senior.
Our guest is McMinnville High School senior Ava Frisson, who is headed to Lewis and Clark College in the fall, where she will study history and English. Why history and English?
Because I just always have gravitated towards them. I am a natural insomniac, so even when I was a little kid, it was no sleep for me. And so my mom's like, I don't want to deal with this. You just do something quietly in your room until you fall asleep. So that's how I gravitated towards reading and books, and just I just fell in love with them. And so I just really wanted to take that with me into my future career. And history just kind of goes along with that, because I think there's some really interesting stuff and a lot of interesting crossover between literature and history.
I thought about you on Saturday because we saw a 80-1 shot, a long shot, win the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, people kept saying, you know, this is a reminder. You shouldn't count people out. You know, don't ever count anyone out. And you have spent a lifetime, I think, proving people wrong. I'm curious from your standpoint what that feels like to constantly – you know, go out and go, oh, yeah, you know what, I can do this, and I can do it like anybody else. And all those victories that you've had in your young life, it's just amazing.
Yeah, thanks. It definitely does feel just a little bit good, because it's just, like, I mean, I think when people, like, see the disability and they see that I'm at a disadvantage, they're, like, natural instinct is to, like, want to help me and, like, feel like I need a lot of accommodation. And so it's very nice, like, proving I'm wrong and being like, I can do this myself, because I think just my personality is very independent. And so when they try to, like, fawn over me and, like, help me with stuff, I get kind of a little bit irritated at that. So it's nice when I can, like, prove them wrong and say, like, no, I can do this. Don't think just because I have a disability that I'm not capable. Like, don't put me into your stereotypes.
It's just fascinating to me, and I think so inspiring. And, you know, I know that, you know, when you're out on the golf course and you're playing, you are very focused. You are very locked in. Is that just something that kind of your personality, you've been that way when you try something, you lock in?
Yeah, especially just when I like something. And I think that like, golf is just, like, something that I automatically locked into. Because I think it's, like, it just works, like, so well for me, and it's very fun for me. So I think I, like, automatically lock into it. And just because it's competition with yourself, and so it's, like, I'm just, like, focusing on myself and, like, the ball, and it's, like, how am I going to hit it, and, like, deciding, making decisions on the course about, like, what club I'm going to use next, or how far away is that, or, like, what's my next move? So it's like you're constantly thinking, but at the same time, you're having fun. So I think that's just why I automatically walk into it.
I think your parents, too, there's a mentality, I think, that I heard from your parents, in that, you know, they gave you an opportunity to prove people wrong. They gave you an opportunity to prove you could do things. And I think that's really valuable, because, you know, I think as parents, I have three daughters, we all want our kids to be successful. We all want them to do well, but there was something in your household too, wasn't there, where they just said, hey, you know, Ava, you know, the real world is out there, and, you know, not everyone's going to bend over backwards and make it easy for you. So I think there's something to kind of the environment you grew up in, too, that has really benefited you.
Yeah. My dad is a very big, like, gruff man, and he's in, like, forestry, and he's very strong and stuff. And my mom was raised a farm girl, so they definitely know, like, the value of hard work. And I think just from the minute I was born, they're like, we're not going to coddle you. We're going to let you be your own person, and we're going to let you explore, like, all these different identities, and we're not going to hold you back. So I think that environment just really allowed me to thrive and, like, figure out, like, who I am and what I want to be, and just allows me to work within my body. And even though I have limitations, they've never acted like it means anything in the grand scheme of stuff.
Ava Frieson is our guest, McMinnville High School senior. All right, what's left of this senior year now? What's left to do here? I know you're winding towards graduation.
Yeah, I don't know what there is to do. I finished all my AP tests. So in most of my classes are AP tests. So we're just kind of biding our time for graduation. And then around, like, beginning of June is when you start having all the fun stuff, like graduation practice and, like, going to see your old elementary school, which is a tradition at our high school, and just, like, all these fun senior events. So I'm just kind of hanging out.
When you mention that elementary school, what do you think about when you think back to the elementary school you grew up in?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's gonna definitely feel very weird going back there. I think just mostly I'm gonna think of boredom. I was a very restless elementary schooler. I was just constantly, like, going through material and being bored when we had to slow down, because I've just always been that way with academics, especially. I just want to know, like, everything. And elementary school couldn't provide me with that. It's really only when I've gotten into high school that I felt challenged.
I love that. Ava Frieson is our guest, McMinnville High School varsity golfer. You want to, I mentioned you studying English and history. What do you want to do with that? What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an English professor. And I want to do, like, some research and stuff, which is where, like, the history comes in. Like, I'm honestly still deciding between English or history professor, because I think there's a lot of definitely fun research research opportunities with history more. But literature is always where my heart has been, so that's what I'm leaning towards right now.
I think you're already teaching. I mean, I think, you know, I've learned from you. I think people are getting that already from you. Help out, because, you know, as I have written the column, what I did find is there are some parents out there that, you know, have just had children who have similar challenges to what you had when you were 6 months old, and your parents were, you know, the world was probably spinning for them as they were trying to do research and figure out what's going on. And I think people have found the column who are going through some of that right now. What would you say to those parents right now, being a kid that, you know, is a great example of, hey, there are success stories here that can be big?
Yeah, I would say the only thing you can do is love your child. I mean, that's, like, the impression that I've gotten from my mom most of all, is that she's just loved me and supported me through everything, even my challenges. And I think that that's just allowed me to, like, be the best that I can be. And she's obviously very concerned about me as a mother, not just because I have a disability, but she's just she's worried about me, and yet she takes the time to, like, step back and let me explore by myself. So I think all you can do is just really try to be there for your child no matter what, and you have to just accept that, you know, what's going to happen next is going to happen, and you try to control it as best as you can, but really the only thing you have is your child, so you should, like, be proud of them and support them in any way you can.
Ava, I appreciate you letting us get to know you, and I know that some listeners are going to call in and say how moved they were by this interview, but thank you for sharing that, and I wish you the best at Lewis and Clark College, and if I see you on the golf course, I will not play you because you'll beat me, so I don't want to do that, but I'll give you a high five.
All right. Yeah, I'll see you there.
All right. Ava, thank you.
All right. Thank you.
There she is, Ava Frisson, McMinnville High School. Do you have a reaction to that? I do. I mean, she's talking about the only thing you can do is love your child. I mean, holy hell. She's 18. She's got the wisdom of an 80-year-old. I want you to tell me what you thought of that at 503-417-7575. Anna's popping in the studio as well. We'll kick it around. But great stuff there. And look, we're going to podcast that interview. I really want you to share it with somebody that you think would enjoy hearing that or maybe needs to hear it. Leave it here. You got the BFT.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I know it's only Tuesday, but that last interview is my favorite interview of the week so far. Apologies to all our other guests, but Ava Frisson of McMinnville High School rocked it. Anna's popped into the studio. If you want to weigh in, if you heard the interview and you want to tell me, like, what is your takeaway from hearing her, I'll take your call at 503-417-7575. We got a whole bunch of things to get to, but I want to linger a little bit on this interview with Ava. Anna's here. Daniel's in West Lynn and has called in. Daniel, I want to know what you thought of that. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hey, thank you for having me. I was really touched, really moved. If I didn't know that she was 18 years old, I would have thought that she was already a professor. And I think, I think about inspiring stories. One that comes to mind is Anthony Robles at Arizona State, the wrestler. Just people that have the ability, it's almost like they have a gene inside them that they won't be stopped no matter what they do. And, I'm just really, I got emotional when I was listening to her talk, because you think about some of the challenges that she goes through, the perseverance and the dedication to stick through things. The everyday person can learn something from her. So she definitely taught me a lot and inspired me, and I hope she's listening because I'm rooting for her all the way.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate that. I had a very similar reaction. Anna came in here during the break, and I told Anna, I said, she's 18, but she's not really 18. She's like 80. And her wisdom and strength, remarkable. Anna, we had a conversation kind of along these lines earlier today. You were talking about Ken Kaufman, who was an influence on your life as a young person, and you used to play chess with him when you were a kid. Now, Ken Kaufman went to Yale.
Yes. Okay. Well, his father, Vic, yes.
That's right.
The whole
Vic.
Kaufman
I'm thinking
family
about Vic.
Mentored
Vic.
Me.
Okay,
but,
so
yes.
Vic Kaufman
yes.
went to Yale.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You were how old when you were playing chess with him?
7 or 8.
And he would kick your ass in chess.
Absolutely.
He didn't let you win.
Not even once.
And you talked to him about that today. Now, he is how old now?
97.
Okay, he's 97 years old, but you've known him since you were...
4.
4. Okay, so what did he say to you today as you talked to him about those chess matches?
I thanked him for never letting me win. And I said, I understand now what you were doing. I didn't at the time. There were tears on my end. But he said, you'll find that if you don't let the kids win, that oftentimes they will beat you like much faster, just on their own accord. Don't let them win. You're not really helping them by letting them win.
I thought about that when Ava was talking about the challenges she's faced or whatnot. And she talked about the people who try to step in and sort of, go, oh, let me do this for you or whatnot.
Lower
and how,
the bar.
Yeah, it annoys her. Because she's like, I can do that. Like, let me just figure that out. And I think her parents gave her a gift by not lowering the bar, so to speak.
I know it's a good interview when I come in. I wasn't listening, and you've got tears in your eyes talking about it.
Ava Frieson, here's what she said when I asked her what advice she would give to parents who may have a child who is facing challenges. Here's her answer.
Yeah, I would say the only thing you can do is love your child. I mean, that's like the impression that I've gotten from my mom most of all, is that she's just loved me and supported me through everything, even my challenges. And I think that that's just allowed me to like be the best that I can be. And she's obviously very concerned about me as a mother, not just because I have a disability, but she's just she's worried about me, and yet she takes the time to like step back and let me explore by myself. So I think all you can do is just really try to be there for your child no matter what, and you have to just accept that, you know, what's going to happen next is going to happen, and you try to control it as best as you can, but really the only thing you have is your child, so you should like be proud of them and support them in any way you can.
Now, I think that advice goes beyond what I even asked her about, because I find, and this is a much larger discussion about youth sports, that as parents, we used to, like, my parents would sign me up for a sports league and then let me play and then see what happens.
Right.
Right? I think in today's world, in the industry that is youth sports, there are a lot of parents who want to control the outcome. They want to put their kids on the right team where they're going to get playing time or get a guarantee of it. They kind of survey the team. They talk to the coaches. They try to control the outcome. I want to control the playing time you're going to get. I want to control the team that you're going to make. I want to control that where you're going to bat in the lineup, or are you going to be a starter? I'm going to control that. And if we don't like what we see, we're going to take you out. We're going to put you on another team in another league, another club, whatnot. Their parents are trying to game the outcome instead of doing what Ava just said, in that, like, you know, love your kid, support your kid. You don't want your kid in an unsafe situation, but also be okay with the result, whatever it may be.
Yeah, there's tremendous wisdom in that, because the reality is that the kids eventually are going to be facing life, you know, on their own. You're not always going to be around to, like, put up the bumpers for them.
What do you mean?
And so the sooner that they learn these lessons along the way, the better it is for them to build their character. Am I guilty of trying to be too protective?
Yes.
Do I have my helicopter mom moments? Of course I do. But I do try to keep that in check, you know?
Yeah, like with our kids, I'm not saying we should go out, drive them out into the wilderness tonight and leave them and say, let's see what you do.
Yeah, whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah, we love you, but, you know, let's see if you can get home. I'm not saying that, but I do think, like, when we're playing a game with them, it's okay to kick their ass in the game. When you're playing chess with them, it's okay to beat them. When they're signing up for a sports league, it's okay if they struggle. Love them. Put your arms around them. But don't like, resist the urge to rescue your kid from what is essentially a beneficial situation. You're going to struggle in life. We're all going to have problems. Bad things are going to happen. You're going to encounter situations where, you know, you don't have immediate success. And youth sports is a great place, I think, to have those challenges and have those failures, and it's a safe place to fail.
Yeah, that's essentially what she's saying, I think, is don't be afraid to let your kid fail, because they're going to learn from it. You've got to give them the space and the room to figure it out for themselves. And frankly, I mean, isn't that time when the kid is between 0 and 18 years old, ideally living in your home, isn't that the best, safest environment in which to fail? You know, like, you don't want their first failures to be when they go off to college or whatever they're doing when they leave home.
Yeah, I think I actually, with three daughters, I think I'm a better dad with the younger daughter than I was with the older daughter. And I hope the older daughter's not listening, but and she probably knows it. But I do find that I did too much of that wanting, you know, her to have confidence. And thinking that, like, allowing her to have success was confidence. But the truth is, you really build confidence by failing. and knowing that, like, all right, I'm going to try it a different way. Now I'm going to break through and succeeding on your own, not having your parent game the system for you so that you win all the time. Right. And you never have any obstacles or failure or controversy or adversity.
That's the irony of it, isn't it?
Truth. I think that kid, she's going to go be a professor. She wants to teach history. She wants to teach English, whatever it is. I think she could be a speaker.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think corporations should put Ava up on the stage and let Ava tell her story. I mean, I think.
Well, because her story is one that we can all learn from. You know, we can apply it in so many ways to our own lives.
And by the way, I didn't find the story myself. Norm Maves, former sports writer and colleague of mine at the newspaper, he retired 15 years ago. Norm is a unique individual.
Yes,
Norm is volunteering to help with the yearbook staff at Glencoe High School. So he's helping the kids at Glencoe. I'm told he shows up with Krispy Kreme donuts and his camera to their meetings. And Norm was covering Oregon State one time in Omaha, the College World Series.
Yeah.
He brought donuts for the Oregon State baseball team to practice.
Of
like, there's no sports writer that does that.
Of course he did.
Norm has got such a big heart, he does that. But Norm served in the Air Force. Norm has lived a lot. He knows a good story when he sees it. He texted me about 2 weeks ago on a Saturday night. He says, JC, I got a good one for you. And then I said, tell me about it. And he told me about Ava. And then within a day or two, all of a sudden I had all these photos that he had taken, all this background information. It was like he teed it up for me. So I appreciate Norm being playing the role of a signing editor. But I'm glad that Ava got to share her story. We're going to talk about Tom Brady. We're going to talk about the Blazers. Plus, one of the great mysteries in sports may be solved. I'll tell you more about it later.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.